Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. We are now just 48 hours or so away from kickoff of the home opener down at Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Lend us your ears and your eyes. We appreciate you joining another edition of Kabali and Mac. I've lost count of how many episodes now. I think I'll stop counting other than the fact that Spotify and iTunes make me number them when I post them up there. That's the only reason we're going to keep count. What's important is it's September 12th, 2025, and we are, like I said, 2 days away from week two kicking off down on the north side. Don't forget, multiple ways to win stuff from those of you that support the show, and we appreciate every single one of you that do so. Old Paranormal in the Funhouse already commenting on the YouTube feed before the show even started. We appreciate it. We appreciate all of you that check in. Ooh, I like Justin's early prediction on the score. Oddly similar to what I had written down. We'll get to that before we wrap up the show, our official predictions for Sunday's game, as well as picks across the entire league. What in the hell are you shaking your head at already?
Sometimes I just wonder where people come up with their names. Street corn mayo and paprika.
Lil Chard.
Missing paranormal. Out. I mean, where do people come up with these names? And better, why? I mean, I don't. How about John? You know,
maybe they don't want people to know who they are. You ever think of that?
Like if I put John, I'd know who you are.
Maybe.
Street,
I mean,
corn mayo and paprika.
We know JTB is Johnny the Barber, who disappears for weeks on end, and then all of a sudden will pop back up and flood the stream with comments.
Then you got Justin E is really Pony's Burner.
Remember, Brian Garrett is Pony's Burner.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sometimes when I do that mailbag and I have to like put people's Twitter names on, I'm like, where do these people come up with this stuff? Can't you just put at John Smith?
Joe.
I mean, something. I mean, it's just like, well, I'm like looking, okay, dot, period, exclamation point, dash, T-O-F-R-S-S. I'm like, what?
How about James Kaplan? He's using his real name in the comments on YouTube. You can join the fun as well. Follow us on all the social media at Kabali and Mac. Don't forget, if you're one of the first 500 followers on Instagram, and we're only about 112 away there, you could win this $100 gift certificate to Yoli's Cucina and Craft House. Kaboom is shaking his head at that because he'd rather have it than give it to someone else.
I'm shaking my head because right after I say Pony's Burner, Pony texts me, so you tell me.
Somebody's ears are burning. He's paying attention. Oh, wait, I thought I saw Johnny the Barber jump in. Never mind, that's JTD, not JTB. Anyway, multiple ways to win things, including the Yoli's gift certificate. We've also got your chance to win a ticket to next Saturday's, September 20th, Marc-Andre Fleury in-store signing at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village. Just keep looking for the tweets on the Kabali and Mac feed on Twitter. Make sure you're following that feed and retweeting the ones we tell you to retweet. Or just retweet everything for the hell of it to make sure you got multiple chances to win that free ticket to the signing with the flower. Also, if you're one of the first 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, you'll be in the drawing to win your choice, either an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet or an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin. What? Black leather vest. We're about a little less than 300 away from that one. So all of these getting very close to people winning some things. Hopefully another giveaway to announce next week from another fine partner of the program. We appreciate all of them, including our good friends at Southwest Greens, who have been on board from the very beginning. Kaboom. Grass that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized. You want the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. They are the experts in installing an artificial grass that'll save you and your family or your business time and money, helping you concentrate on more important things. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake, who I got to stop by and see this weekend, actually, that Kabali and Mac sent you.
Jake.
Jake, he's the man at Southwest Greens.
Hey, I never have to mow my lawn anymore, but it's just hay.
Now who else is texting you?
I thought I shut it off and I didn't.
This is what I worry about with you.
I thought I shut it off, but I turned it back on.
You got so many distractions constantly. How do you stay as a sleep deprived human, which you are? Your brain is already running like on dangerously low. Like the fuel light would be going off because of the lack of sleep that you get. And then all these distractions, how do you manage? Maybe you don't.
Maybe that explains everything.
That explains everything. You're right. All right. Steelers, Seahawks, Sunday afternoon. We got a million things to get to within this game. The coordinators talked yesterday, both Artie and Terrell Austin. We'll let you hear some stuff from them. I know Kaboom probably had to corner Danny Smith in an awkward moment and ask him about balls. That's been a recurring theme throughout the week. You'll hear one guy in Seattle who sounds like he's a little bit in his feels about someone on this side of the ball, plus another review on a new guy just added to the roster and how he's adjusting. All sorts of things to get to. Plus, like I said, our picks for week two around the NFL, even though we didn't make official picks on Washington and Green Bay. But Green Bay looks good. Green Bay looks real good.
Green Bay, so I'm already.
You did not pick Green Bay. Neither one of us made an official pick on the game. It doesn't count.
I picked Green Bay. Why would I pick Washington?
You can't revise it after the fact. That game does not count in our official pick. Nobody made a pick.
I picked Green Bay, but beside the point.
Well, you didn't announce it. Make it official.
You're gonna be dyeing your hair before you know it.
Should I go with Richie Walsh Fire Engine Red? When I finally die,
I don't know. Maybe just like the old Thomas.
What do you think?
Maybe the Thomas Jefferson football blonde bleach.
Oh, that's an idea. The Stan, the Eminem Stan color. That's an idea too.
You're already giving up. I love it.
It doesn't matter because I'm going to win the picks contest at the end of the year anyway, and then you'll have to dye your hair. I want you to do the goatee too.
I know that already.
I want you to go full Hollywood Hogan. And do the stash blonde and do the beard black. Can you do that for me when I win the picks?
My somewhat youth age, I decided to bleach my chin hair blonde, or bleach it. I guess you could bleach it. Little did I know, within like 3 days, it would grow out, and it was like a two-tone. It was kind of weird.
You had frosted tips on your goatee.
I mean,
the 2000s were a time.
The only time I did that too, the one time, that's it.
I mean, in college, I had the full Fred Durst goatee. You know, we thought we looked good. We didn't.
Did you still have the red hat on backwards?
I did for Halloween one year. Yeah. A white t-shirt and a backwards red hat. Okay. Before we get to the particulars of this game, one final time, please God, let this be the final time we have to talk about it. Cam Hayward on the outcome of his contract renegotiations.
It's a business. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, things might get out there that aren't true or, you know, not what I'm looking for. But, it is what it is. You know, I can only let my play speak for it. And going forward, that's all I'm going to do.
The result of your contract.
Yeah.
Was it what you were looking for? Was it what you wanted? Was the whole process worth it for you in the end?
you know, I think it has to be a compromise on both sides. You know, I understand they don't normally do it, and all I'm asking for is an opportunity to go out and earn it. And you know, that's just what I want to do.
So Batco asked him, Brian Batco, the Post Gazette, was it worth it? That answer to me sounded like not really, but he'll get a couple extra bucks at the end of the year, assuming they make the playoffs and he gets his 8 sacks. I can't imagine for a guy who for a decade and a half has been looked at as one of the faces of the franchise that he's going to look back on it in retrospect someday and think all the heat he took was worth the extra $1.5 million that he'll probably end up with.
Well, if he gets that, I mean, you True. Can, wouldn't it really suck when he says, I just want to go out and earn it. And he goes out there and gets his 8 sacks or whatever that number is.
And they, don't make the playoffs.
I mean, no matter what he does, doesn't really necessitate them making the playoffs. So, I mean, even that would stink for him if he's not being able to, if he reaches his personal goals and not being able to cash in a little bit. So, I guess it's better than nothing, but it's definitely not what he was looking for. There ain't no way.
You said yesterday that you thought he's still a ways off from hanging him up. I kind of take this as, you think?
Yeah, probably was he. He probably, you know, knowing him, he probably wants to solidify himself as a real potential Hall of Fame candidate. And if he has another good, if he has another 2024 and 25 and 26, I mean, I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer. So I think that means a lot to me.
You think?
But he's going to have to play well. I mean, it can go downhill real quick. And the last thing you remember about Cam Hayward is how he fell off the face of the planet at age 36 or 37. I mean, the problem is with defensive linemen is, you don't see he's done stuff that a lot of people have never done before, and that's like playing at an extremely high level into his mid to late 30s. So, plus, you know, he was in a system early in his career that was not conducive of making plays and not conducive of having stats.
So yeah, and I just don't see, like, stats are the first thing that people look at when the Hall of Fame committee gets together, right? That's the first thing they're going to stack up. They're going to do just like I did, some of them, I would think, and pull up the old Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame monitor. It's a page you just Google Pro Football Hall of Fame or Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame monitor, and you can go to the defensive tackle section, which is where he's classified on there. And you can see that he's in a neighborhood with guys like, I don't know, Alex Karras, who anybody under the age of 50 doesn't probably, even anybody under the age of 60 only knows him as Webster's dad. 80s reference, kids. But he played in the, you know, 60s. That's really Geno Atkins. Geno Atkins isn't a Hall of Famer, but that's another name right next to him there on that list. I don't know. I think, you know, the ring at this point is really the only thing that's left to chase if you're talking about a Hall of Fame resume for Cam Hayward. Otherwise, like, there's a couple guys below him on the list, like Steve McMichael and Joe Klecko, who have gone into the Hall of Fame. Klecko obviously never won a championship, but had a great amount of longevity. Maybe that's the closest comparison. McMichael obviously was a part of the 85 Bears defense, so that helps his legacy. But I honestly think, like, Cam is still at least another Super Bowl appearance, if not a ring away from being solidified as a Hall of Famer.
You have to understand the first, what, 6 years of his career was played under Dick LeBeau. And you're like, great, Dick LeBeau, Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. But Dick LeBeau's defense was one of those, you know, two-gap defenses where you're responsible for, obviously, the gap on your left and your right was not indicative of making plays. You were just holding up blocks so the linebackers make plays. Incidentally, Dick LeBeau gets fired, leaves.
Yeah.
After 2015, okay, 2016, Hayward gets hurt, so throw that out. They changed the philosophy of how they play defense and what they want from their defensive line, and all of a sudden Hayward goes 12, 8, 9, 4, 10, 10 and a half, 8 sacks after that. So, plus, you know, the first couple seasons he didn't play that much. So, I think that has a lot to do with numbers wise, where he was finally put into a position to be able to succeed second half of his career after LeBeau left. You might not want to say it, but for personally, the best thing to ever happen to Dick, to Cam Hayward personally, was Dick LeBeau leaving. Well, maybe not personally, but professionally.
Yeah. I mean, if he gets another 11 and a half sacks, he'll have hit the 100 mark, which I think is another landmark maybe to keep an eye on. 100 sacks, I don't want to say would, but it, that would add something that you could put as a bullet point on the resume.
A Super Bowl probably gets him in. I mean,
winning
a Super
or just
Bowl
going?
Ring, along with what he's done, probably makes him a good candidate. Maybe not first ballot. Not
want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You know, maybe 6, 7 years down the road, but I think it makes him a legitimate contender.
Yeah.
And I think that means a lot to him.
But I do wonder, like, if it's another one and out year in the playoffs, and considering what he did to try and restructure this deal and bring a couple bucks into this season from next season and beyond, and the lack of guarantees, like, if they go 10-7 and get bounced in the wild card round again, I do wonder if he's going to look around and be like, man, how close are we really? We're on the verge of some young quarterback probably taking over from Rodgers in the future. You know, do I want to stick around knowing that that ring isn't necessarily any closer?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as he has the ability to play, I think he'll play at a high level. I don't see anything recently that says he can't play at a high level. So I think the 100 sacks is a big landmark, or like you said, and I think just like, I mean, I don't think it's really goes for Aaron Rodgers because he's already in the Hall of Fame, but you don't think 2 touchdowns this week and to pass Brett Favre doesn't mean anything to him?
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, it definitely does.
Aaron's another guy who will never admit to that kind of stuff, I don't think, but it definitely matters to him. Absolutely. Especially when you're talking about Favre specifically.
I guess he has an outside chance of passing Peyton Manning this year. He needs...
How many does he need?
30... He needs like 32, but...
He could get there.
That's tough. I mean, I guess outside chance is a good word, but after that, you're pretty much screwed, but...
I mean, that's 2 touchdown passes a week. He's already got 4.
Oh, now you're throwing it. You know, you have him having 40 touchdowns. Okay.
No, yeah, two touchdown passes a week is 34. That's just enough to pass Manning, like you said.
I mean, there's times that these quarterbacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers don't throw a touchdown in a month.
Yeah, I think that's different. This year, definitely different. Speaking of how it's different, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, Arthur Smith had a quick little sound bite we want you to hear in just a second. But we got to thank the man, Arch. Get down to Archie's this weekend to watch all the games, college games, pro games, from Saturday morning all the way through to Monday night. And don't forget, 80, 80-cent wing nights during the week, Monday through Thursday, plus a bunch of other great food, burgers, sandwiches, flatbread pizzas, and, of course, daily spring dink specials. Jesus Christ, I can't talk this morning. You're contagious. Daily drink specials. Friday and Saturdays, they got $2 you call it. Go down there, get a nice cold iron, and enjoy the games at Archie's, 2328 East Carson Street in the South Side.
Man. You might have to get there early on Saturday for the brawl.
Oh, that's right.
Might want to leave now.
Pitt's laying 7.5 in that game. I know West Virginia just lost
to Ohio. About 275.
Crazy stuff happens in the brawl, man. Especially, they're going to be down in Morgantown. Crazy stuff happens.
You know, I bet you the Steelers loved it yesterday as I was walking into practice. They were doing a walkthrough, and the Pitt was practicing playing the combination of Country Roads and the West Virginia band and booing and cheering. It was just a mumbo jumbo of
noise.
And I'm thinking, boy, I'm sure the Steelers love this going through the walkthrough.
The sooner they get out of there and get their own facility, the happier I think they'll all be. But we're a few years away from that. Arthur Smith yesterday, the coordinator, spoke. We'll get to your uncomfortable questions about Danny Smith's balls in a second. We'll hear from Terrell Austin in a second, too, on this defense maybe turning things around. But Arthur Smith feels a way, you can tell, when he's asked about Aaron Rodgers.
Those guys love him, and he's played a lot of snaps. He's awesome on the sideline, and that's how he is every day.
Great volume on that clip, by the way. Thanks,
Dave. Already.
Yeah, already basically saying Aaron's a great leader, for those of you that couldn't hear it. And he's like that every single day. The guys love him, Kaboom. They love him. Yeah. It has, you know, you joked about Steelers quarterbacks and how many touchdown passes they throw, but you can't argue with the fact that we said it in the aftermath of the win over the Jets. Having that kind of dude back there with that presence changes everything for the offense, especially when you're down or it's in crunch time.
Yeah. I mean, they all liked, for the most part, liked Russell Wilson too, but it was a different type of like. It was like, okay, he's just trying too hard. Russell Wilson was a guy that he would be a cheerleader at Penn State, a male cheerleader at Penn State, you know. Yay, let's go, let's go, let's go. Aaron Rodgers is a guy is you'd want to sit at your bar and drink a beer with type of friend, you know. They're both positive. They're both liked, but there's a big difference between one and the other, and you could tell.
Well, it's like I said a couple weeks ago. Like, there's just a difference in how they're positive. Like, you use that phrase that was repeated a lot around Russ last year, toxic positivity, right? Like, it gets to be too much, and it starts to feel fake and forced, whereas Rodgers is the kind of guy who the positivity means that much more if you get it from him, because he's going to be real with you. It's like Zach Frazier said the other day, like, he's going to tell you when you screw up, and that's fine. As a young player, especially, Zach Frazier wants that kind of stuff. He wants to be told. He wants to be given some constructive feedback, but then that makes the positivity and the affirmations that much more valuable when they do come to you, because it feels more real.
I'm just interesting to see when something goes poorly. They get their butt whipped. Their offense doesn't do anything. What the message is and how he approaches that message. I'm sure he'll approach it like a pro. I would just like to, can't wait to, but I'm curious to see how the message changes, if the message changes, if his demeanor changes or anything like that. Right now, we've seen nothing but positive. Let's see when things don't go right, just to see how he reacts. I'm sure it's going to be very similar. You know, hey, it's one game. I've been around, blah, 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 blah. But let's see.
Yeah, I think it would be more interesting if it started to snowball a little and they had a few weeks in a row where maybe they weren't productive on offense or struggled to score points. That'll be when you've had a week or two of the standard diplomatic answers, which I'm sure Rodgers will give if the offense scuffles at any point. It'll be more interesting to see if that were to last a few weeks, how things go then.
Yeah, could be. I wasn't in that room for that because Danny hides in the back. So
One thing I'll say is they clearly, the Steelers, have the quarterback advantage again this week. They had the quarterback advantage in week one. They've got the quarterback advantage through like their first five games and probably six of their first eight, I would say. They'll have the quarterback advantage next week, Rodgers over May. The week after that, Rodgers over McCarthy, as much as people are going crazy about J.J. McCarthy right now. They'll have the advantage the week after that, Rodgers over Flacco or whoever the hell's taking snaps for the Browns. And then you really get out to the sixth game of the year, week seven, where finally you'll face a team that probably has the quarterback advantage, does, in Burrow over Rodgers. Then there's Love, who, you know, we'll see. He's playing lights out right now. We'll see how he's doing then. But you look up and down the schedule, there's nine games right now where the Steelers have the clear quarterback advantage.
Well, you put a lot of stock in one game, huh?
I mean, would you argue that Rodgers is a better quarterback right now?
Rubber stamping Tagovailoa. Well, I'm not rubber stamping that's how it's going to play out. But on paper right now, I guess, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, if you just look up and down the schedule, like, we could honestly assess Burrow's a better quarterback than Rodgers right now. Lamar is a better quarterback than Rodgers right now. Who else? Allen is on the schedule. Better quarterback than Rodgers. Who else am I forgetting that's on the schedule this year?
Joe Flacco.
No, not Flacco.
Caleb Williams.
I'll give you Jared Goff, though the Lions didn't look great in week one, as a better quarterback than Rodgers right now. I'll give you that one, okay? So where else are we seeing?
You're basing this off of one game, though. I'm just saying that.
I'm basing it off of one game, and I think – no, I'm not basing it off one game. If I was basing it off one game, I'd say Rodgers is better than Goff right now.
Well, I'm not disagreeing that he is, but I'm saying,
is he better than Daniel Jones?
I mean, what are we talking about right now? Yes, but in 2 weeks, maybe no, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I don't know. Danny Dimes is going to be Danny Dimes eventually. I know you're super high on the Colts, but like,
what did I tell you about absolutes, man?
Is he better than Caleb Williams right now?
No, but maybe Caleb Williams goes to Nell's studio and. All of a sudden, he turns his game around. Maybe comes
my point
Murray.
Is
Maybe the only Murray and get some work done.
My point is the only teams on the schedule that I think have that clearly have better quarterback situations than the Steelers are obviously the Bengals and Ravens. Okay, that's four games. Then maybe the Chargers. I know you don't like Herbert, but the Chargers, the Lions, the Bills. So there's seven right there. Seven? Oh, I know. I'll grant the Packers too right now, based off the way Love has played the first 2 weeks. Well, so there's
you have to add two. You have to add Lamar twice and Burrow twice. Right?
I did. So you come to eight
Flacco
games.
Twice. And
you stop saying that Flacco's better than Rodgers.
I don't know. Everybody in the comments are saying you're the hater, not me.
I'm the hater.
Oh, I look at Mac hating. You're hating.
What am I hating on?
Oh, yeah, they're right. You hate too much.
Ray's convinced that I don't like Roger, and he's better than all who you name. So Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback, Ray, amongst all the quarterbacks they'll face this year. Come on. I'm not hating. I'm being realistic.
No, you're a hater. They're calling you out. They don't put up with your bullshit, man.
Please. You just called Joe Flacco better than Aaron Rodgers. Ray can...
Joe Flacco might be a Hall of Famer.
Joe Flacco. Ray, if you honestly think Aaron Rodgers is better than Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, then Kaboom needs to have a talk with you. But once again, we appreciate you showing up in the comments. I do. I think they have a better quarterback. They have the quarterback advantage in nine, at least, of their games that are on the schedule.
I tell you, well, this all comes back to... He's better than Sam Darnold, right?
Yeah, exactly. If we're talking about the Seahawks specifically, I think we can all agree that Aaron Rodgers is better than Sam Darnold. I will definitely grant you that. Thanks to our friends at Higgins Professional Painting for sponsoring the show as well. They've jumped on board, and we like having them because they know what the hell they're doing. They've been doing it for four decades, a family-run business from Don, who founded it. 40 years ago, all the way down through the rest of the family. You want a fresh coat of paint on the interior, exterior, your home, make it look great, make it pop, get it that curb appeal, as they say, or you got a commercial industrial building that needs done, they'll do that too. Drywall repair, they handle all of it, and they understand the area, so they know what works for the specific climate and conditions of Southwestern PA. They're ready to discuss your project and get you a free estimate. Get in touch with them at HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call, 412-344-0480. I mentioned Arthur Smith being in his feels a little bit, kaboom, about Aaron Rodgers. He feels good every time he gets to talk about Aaron Rodgers. One guy who's not feeling so good, way out in the Pacific Northwest, when you ask him about his old friend who's gone now.
Just having DK around, you know, himself. You know, great guy, a friend, you know, can, you know, always talk to him, advice, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, that's my guy.
Blah, blah, blah. That's his guy, Jackson Smith and Jigba, who, like, when I go down the list of players who might be able to beat the Steelers this week, he'd probably be at the top of the list. But we'll get to that in a second. The thing I keep coming back to, Mark, is the Seahawks secondary is just banged up right now. Devin Witherspoon still hasn't practiced this week. Julian Love, one of their safeties, did not practice yesterday. We already talked about Nick Emmanuari, the rookie who didn't play a ton of snaps in week one, but is super versatile, and they were planning to line up all over the place. Like, they're limited, and I still think, you know, DK wouldn't admit it the other day, but there's a little bit of revenge factor, I would think, in the back of his mind, too, playing his former team. And you go up against a depleted secondary, we could have a big DK Metcalf game this Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, you talk about that, but you better have be able to create some time for Aaron Rodgers to throw, even though they do have some guys long in the tooth, so to speak. They got some.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Some big boys up front.
Yeah.
Williams, Murphy, Reed, Lawrence. That's, like I said, maybe that's a Hall of Fame caliber of front four in the year, you know, 2018 or something like that. But they could be difference makers, especially with how that offensive line struggled to a degree last week against another big and powerful defensive front as well. So you want things go south all quickly, you can have all the injuries you want in the secondary. You got those four guys coming at you, and you don't really make any adjustments or play better from last week. That could be, if they lose this game or struggle offensively, I bet you look back and say those three or four guys pretty much dominated. So you have to keep that in mind.
Well, even if the Seattle defensive front has a good day and they're breaking through the way the Jets did in week one, I still think because of the lack of depth in the secondary, and like I said a couple days ago, maybe some more vanilla coverages because they can't mix it up as much, that Rodgers should have an opportunity to make some quick reads and get rid of the ball when he has to. And we've talked repeatedly about, you know, this isn't George Pickens where you got to wait for him to get downfield and chuck up a moon ball like Russ would. This is get it out quick, get it out on time, in stride to a guy like Metcalf or even Austin. And in Metcalf's case, let him break a tackle or two and turn a 6-yard route into an 18-yard pickup.
Man, just looking at this roster of the Seahawks, it's not a top 25 roster in the NFL right now, from top to bottom, offense to defense. There's a lot of suspect players on this team. And you add that from coming, you know, left to right here and playing the Steelers on their home opener. I know some people are picking Seattle to win this game, but, man, this would be a – I think this would be considered a really poor loss if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. I mean, I just don't think that Seattle is very talented right now.
No, I do think their – well, their offense can't look worse than it did last week, Seattle's. So it has to look better this week. But I think it's got an opportunity to again, create some things in the run game, not the same way the Jets did because they have a different blocking scheme in the run game. But I still think they have a chance to create some things there.
Yeah, but if they didn't crap the bed last week, the Steelers run defense, I would maybe agree with you. But you've seen it so many times that when a team struggles like they did last week against the Jets, stopping the run, then the next week, all of a sudden, they stop them, right? Just like how the Steelers will have 13 penalties for 170 yards. It's like, hey, we're going to bring in the referees. Like, they don't do anything but to just stand there at practice. Then the next game, they got one penalty for 4 yards. That's how I like in this one. Trust me, they've probably been yelled at pretty much nonstop over the past 2 or 3 days about this run defense. And they know that's the way that they can lose this game. So I just don't see Seattle being able to run the ball consistently on them. And if you're going hoping that Sam Darnold, the Smith and Jigba, is going to win you a game,
good luck.
I think we had some bad news.
Yeah. Terrell Austin had something interesting to say, and I want to circle back on something Cam Hayward said in just a second, but thanks to the Dan Heck team for sponsoring the show also. There to help you find the perfect home for you or you and your family, HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. The whole team there ready to help you, Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, trying to get you into the perfect home, and they can do it. So get a hold of them if you're looking, buying or selling. The Dan Heck team, HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. So Terrell Austin was asked point blank about this defense and what he expects this weekend against Seattle.
Coming off that field at Baltimore last year, and I didn't feel the same way this year. I feel good with our group. I feel good that they'll rebound and we'll play better moving forward.
He feels good that they're going to rebound and play better moving forward. That would start with the run game, I'm sure. The thing that Cam Hayward said, and I don't have the clip of it, but he mentioned how they focused on fighting through blocks, getting upfield. The one thing that worries me is that in this zone blocking scheme that Seattle runs, you can penetrate the line of scrimmage real quick if you're a defensive lineman. It might not necessarily matter as much because the entire line has shifted 6 yards to the right, because that's what they want to do in these concepts, is they want to get sideline to sideline, spread you out, wait for the hole, and then go. And if you're too aggressive because you're trying to make up for the mistakes of last week when you got pushed around, before you know it, you're 2 or 3 yards in the backfield as a D lineman, but the running back is 10 yards that way.
Yeah, you got to be in your gap. It's harder to stay in your gap than the gap integrity you hear so much. When you're on the move like that, you have to, you know, that's why they do it on offense, because that's why their offensive line, they run that, and they got a lot of athletic offensive line, so they can get out there quick and create that seam, create that that little space for the running back to be able to cut through. For the most part, I mean, Benton should be able to fit into that, but I would say that I'm more confident in them being able to stop that than what happened last week where they just got manhandled. I don't even know what T.A. Terrell Austin was talking about. I felt more comfortable coming off the field the other day than I did in Baltimore, or whatever the words he used. You just got pushed around, man, by the Jets. The Jets. Just like you just got pushed around by Baltimore in the playoffs. So I don't see much of a difference there. So I don't know how he's splitting hairs here and saying one was better than the other and it's totally different. To me, it was much of the same.
I don't know. Maybe it's a confidence they have in their ability to stay in their gaps and move sideline to sideline, a level of confidence in Queen and Wilson and the other linebackers to get to the outside and shut those things down before they develop. I don't know.
Over the past decade, how many times have you heard, yeah, we got to have gap integrity. We got to stay in our gap. You think after 10 years, they'd finally figure out how to do it? I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard, unless that's just, you know, something defensive players just go back to when they don't know what else to say. My goodness.
So you do or don't have a level of confidence in their ability to do that this weekend? Because that sounds like you don't.
Because I don't think their offensive line is very good, and I don't think their running game is very good, and I don't think their quarterback is going to – how am I going to say this? I don't think Darnold was going to play as well as Justin Fields did the other day, which I would never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot of the things it sounds like people expected them to do in that offense in week one. And I don't mean results. I mean like schemes and style. Like it's supposed to be this elaborate Clint Kubiak offense. And it sounds like they didn't do a ton of that stuff. Like I think one play action pass all day.
Well, you have to be able to
have a run game
first, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I like their chances here more than I do. Steelers don't beat anybody by a lot of points, but I saw some people pick Seattle to win this game, and I just don't see it, man. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think all the stuff that we're talking about adds up to a suspected Steelers win, which we'll get to official picks at the end of the show. But all it takes is a couple breakdowns, and we've seen them happen repeatedly in the run defense over the last, if you want to include the end of last year, the last seven games. That until you see them put stuff in action, it's like Austin standing there talking. It's all just words, basically.
Did you see the breaking news?
No. What?
The Steelers have signed goalie Marc-Andre Fleury.
What?
Yep.
What are you talking about?
The entire Penguins organization is honored to welcome Marc-Andre Fleury back to the ice in Pittsburgh. Blah, 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 blah. Goes beyond circles. We mean so much to our team, a fan.
You said the Steelers signed Mark on.
Oh, I said the Penguins.
You said the Steelers. Fleury will play parts of the exhibition game on Saturday, September 27th.
That's what I told you.
What is this? I guess just sort of one last go around to officially hang him up as a Penguin.
When is that game?
September 27th.
Oh, so you could go down to First and Go and get his autograph the week before.
You could, especially if you had a ticket to the signing, especially if you won one from your good friends, Kabali and Mac. Yeah, that's wild.
You ever hear anything like that before?
I mean, obviously.
Where he comes back to play in a preseason game?
No. I mean, we've seen plenty of guys come back and finish their careers with teams they started with, you know, the one-day contract or whatever to retire as a member of that team, but not to play in an exhibition game. That's kind of wild.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get some tears in my eyes for the fifth time already.
You're wistful, aren't you? I can see the glisten in your eyes.
Every time he comes back, I wonder if they're going to have a video tribute to him.
One thing I can guarantee is that's going to be the closest they come to a sellout all year. Is a preseason game against the Blue Jackets on a Saturday night. Because everybody's going to want to see the Flyer one last time.
They're definitely having a video tribute, right?
Dude, they might just play a video the whole time. It's an exhibition game. This is wild.
Yeah, I've never heard of anything like this.
I wonder if he stays on with the organization in some way. Like, they've kept Lothar, well, not an ambassador even, but like, do they want him to be around to, like, I don't know, tutor or mentor this Sergei Muroshov?
Why would he want to do that? I'm sure he's made his
because he's a nice guy, not like you.
Well, he's made his share of bank go, you know, go hang out on the beach, man. I don't want to deal with this hockey stuff.
Obviously, he does if he's coming back to play at an exhibition game.
I mean, honestly, if you're getting paid, you need the money, you come back and you do that. If you're making, who knows how much he's made over his career. I'm sure it's more enough. Than, maybe not as much as you, but, dude, go enjoy life. Don't sit there and mentor a potential decent goalie.
I don't mean playing, like being on the active roster. I mean, like being around as like, oh, special goaltending consultant. And he goes to practice once a week and, you know, hangs out with Murashov. I don't know.
Where does he live at? Nova Scotia? Not Nova Scotia. Montreal? Flurry?
I thought he had, I don't know. I wanted to say I heard that he had come back to the area, but maybe not. Maybe I'm talking out my ass.
The guy's made $100 million over his career. I think he can afford to take a couple days off.
You think? Well, think. He wants to come back. So good on the flower. That's going to be interesting to see him play one final game in an exhibition. What is it? 2 weeks from tomorrow, right? Yeah. So
when the Steelers are in Ireland.
Oh, that's right. I mean, it's not at the same time. It's the same weekend, though. But your point.
Big weekend for Pittsburgh sports.
That is a big weekend for Pittsburgh sports. Kaboom mentioned it earlier when we were comparing quarterbacks on the Steelers' schedule to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you want your nails to look as good as Caleb Williams' nails. But seriously, it's okay to get your feet done. To get your feet taken care of with a pedicure at Nail Studio 2. They'll help you feel better. Look, maybe you're one of those dudes that spends all day on your feet at work. And this is maintenance in that case, not just the luxury. They'll tackle the rough spots, the calluses, tired feet, make you feel better as well as look better. And maybe you got somebody in your life who really does want to get their nails done. Whatever it is, get to Nail Studio 2, both online, nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral 2, nailstudioii.com. You can book online there. Or give them a call, 724-941-4595, right out there in the South Hills on 19 in Peters Township, McMurray area, next to Juniper Grill. Nail Studio 2, supporting the show, and we appreciate them as we do all of the lovely sponsors here on Kabbalah and Mac. One more thing on the defensive side of the ball I wanted to touch on ahead of the game against the Seahawks. Juan Thornhill spoke yesterday and was asked about how Jabril Peppers is settling in his first few days as a Steeler.
I mean, he fits in well. Like, I mean, just me knowing him from the past, like, he's a hitter, smart guy. Like, he's picking up on the defense well. Like, you know, sometimes it takes guys, like, you know, maybe like a week or something to adjust, but it doesn't even seem like it's going to take that long, if I'm being honest. It seems like he just knows what he's doing already. But he's going to fit in pretty well and help us out.
Come on, Juan. You're supposed to say, nah, he's struggling, man. He's struggling. I don't know if he's going to be able to play. Got to get me in there for another week.
How much do you think Peppers plays this week?
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I don't think he's a 80% guy. I mean, at best, I could see him going 50%, right?
Okay, I'll take that.
50% of the snaps. I'm telling you, he did look good. I mean, you don't know how to – when a guy comes in that late like that and he's been around a while, you don't really know what you're getting, but – you see him practice right away, and you're like, okay, at least the physical ability is still there. I mean, I don't think he's lost any of that whatsoever. Now, why did Cleveland dump him? Why did New England dump him? Who knows? As long as you trust Juan Thornhill that he can get up to speed this quickly, I don't see why he can't play. I mean, they can play him in the slot. They can play him down in the box in the slot. It doesn't look like JPJ's playing, so Echo's on the outside.
Which means I would think more Ramsey on the outside too. I know they want to move him around, but
I don't know. I don't think they're going to move. I don't think they're touching what Ramsey does. What you saw he did against the Jets, he's going to do for the rest of the season.
Which is fine by me. I mean,
that's the way I look at it right now.
Run around and make plays.
I don't know if they make exceptions for Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I don't think they will, but we'll have to get to that point.
Well, I do think when we talk about that Seattle run scheme of trying to stretch things to the outside, that's where you really benefit from a Jalen Ramsey, a dude who's willing to stick his nose in the pile and mess people up and come, especially if he's playing in the slot, come up, smack dudes at the line of scrimmage and shut plays down before they go anywhere.
Plus, you know, Herbig expected to be back. That's significant.
Mm-hmm.
Quite significant. He should be, if he's not 100%, he's doggone close to being 100% after missing a month. That's significant in what they want to do too, as well, even though they could be missing some players on defense here, injury-wise. So,
since we're talking about dudes who are injured on the defensive side of the ball, and we brought up Elliott, I think Peppers can step in an Elliott-type role right from the jump. We talked about what Ramsey can do.
Yeah, Elliott got away. Looks fine. I mean, he's walking fine. No brace, no limp. I mean, take that for what it's worth. But to me, if you were significantly injured, you would have some sort of hitch. You would have some sort of brace. You'd have some sort of walking support. So I don't think that's anywhere near being long-term for him.
Well, the guy I was going to ask you about is Harmon. I know he's not going to play this weekend, obviously.
Yeah.
Probably very highly questionable, doubtful for next week, I would guess, as well. But does it look like we're getting any closer? Is there some progress there?
Yeah, it really hasn't done anything, so.
So, no.
You see him walking through the locker room. I mean, that's it. But normally, a guy that young with not that much experience already, you err on the side of caution. They typically do that. So once you think he's ready, they'll give him another week just to make sure. I would say if I was a betting man, Minnesota, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they show that they can turn the run defense around this weekend, I wonder if they feel inclined to give him the extra 2 weeks of the bye week and then bring him back for Cleveland.
I know. I think I've said this before, how they tend to like to, if the guy comes back right before that, like a bye week or something like that, they like to give him play a week, then have an opportunity to see how it reacts with over a week, week and a half. But that goes either way sometimes, so it's not really a hard and fast rule there whatsoever. So I do believe that they'll just err on the side of caution with him. But then you have to ask yourself, can he get on that moving train? All right.
I can't imagine them. I know you brought it up a couple weeks ago. They're not going to Roman Wilson him. Even if the run defense, and they did mention, I think, that Y.A. Black is probably going to play more this weekend. Or at least that was alluded to by Terrell Austin.
I'm not going to sit here and count snaps with you guys.
Right. No, not with us. He'll count them with his coaches and his players, maybe. Even if Y.A. Black plays more and looks good against Seattle, like, I don't foresee this being a Roman Wilson situation where Derek Harmon is struggling to gain playing time once he's back.
No. You have to understand they didn't need Roman Wilson as much as I think they need Derek Harmon. So,
I mean, late in the year last year, you could argue they could have used another receiver to go to. I mean, when Pickens was hurt, especially late in the year, it wouldn't have hurt to have Roman Wilson in there.
At that time, you're screwed. Right? I mean, no, at that time, you just don't say, oh, by the way, we need you. At that time, you know, you're just like, well, we got to deal with right now. I mean, if they knew that George Pickens was either going to get hurt or not show up, then they could have maybe anticipated using Roman Wilson a little bit more. But
well, point remains, I don't think Derek Harmon gets the moving train Roman Wilson treatment. I think once he's ready to go.
It's a different position, right? Different position.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
I don't know. That train might not be moving as fast as Roman Wilson's train.
Not as hard and fast? Speaking of hard and fast, what was the conversation with Danny Smith about ball manipulation like?
Ball manipulation. He's into ball manipulation. He says, he says, somebody's going to F this up. I know they are, man.
What do you mean? Somebody's going to F what up?
Overwork the balls.
Oh, you don't want to overwork
them. Well, to the point where, where they're going to just say, screw this, we're going back to their own. He goes, somebody's going to screw it up. I know they are. I told our guys, don't F this up.
But Boswell doesn't care what kind of ball he's kicking, does he?
Yeah. I'd have to ask Boswell would have to be present in the building first for somebody to ask him that. But according to some of his teammates and his coach, no, he does not.
So Bos just isn't there?
Bos never shows up.
Damn.
He does his work and he goes home.
I guess when you kick 60 yarders, you can.
Yeah, you think about it. I mean, he's on his own schedule. I think he only kicks like once a week now, practice wise.
What a life.
But the thing is they allow him to do it. But when he stunk that one year, guess who was working 9 to 5? Him. He was there all the time.
When you stink, it's a whole lot different. It's like, what's Tomlin say? We treat guys fairly, not equally.
Yeah.
When you're good and you're producing, you get a little more leash.
Honestly, it's the ball situation is somewhat significant. I mean, before they would rip the damn things out of the plastic and say, kick it.
Right.
Now they get balls to manipulate to the point where they're softer, the sheen's off it, it's not slippery. And, that's why you're going to see 60, 65 yarders this year.
You don't want your balls to be slippy. Yeah. That's bad news.
You know what? I forget who I asked. Maybe it was Waitman. I can't remember. Dude, I wouldn't be surprised if he can kick 75. Because I'd probably be confident with it.
75?
That's what I said.
Maybe in Denver.
Danny's like, you know what? There is no limit. I mean, depending on the game situation.
That would be epic if they were in a situation where they were down one or two or the game on the line and, no time left on the clock or 1 second left on the clock, whatever it is. And they trot Boswell out there.
No, Boswell trots himself out there.
Good point. And he's kicking the ball and Waitman's taking the snap and putting it down on his own 35-yard line. That is wild.
Yeah, apparently that 57-yarder, they were deciding what to do. Mm-hmm. So Tom was like, Danny, what are we going to do? Danny said, I looked at fucking Mike and said, Mike, boss is already out there. He goes, he might quit if you tell him to punt the ball. So Tom was like, then kick the damn thing.
That's amazing. He just jogs out there whenever he feels like he wants to kick it. Boz, it's third down, brother. Come on back.
Like the punter and the punter and the long snapper saying, are we going? Are we kicking? What? Boz is out there like, go.
This is almost like a challenge now to see how far out they can get him.
I mean, if it's the game on the line, 1 second left and you're facing whatever, 4th and 27.
Yeah.
And you're putting the ball down for a 70-yarder. You're trying it, aren't you?
And he might make it. That's the wild part.
What's your best opportunity at that point? A 70-yard field goal or trying to get 70 yards or whatever?
I mean, we've seen Rodgers complete some Hail Marys before.
63 yards for a score to win the game.
Yeah, good point. I mean, the dude's drilling 60-yarders the way he is.
What I'm saying, what is the longest field goal? 66 now?
67, isn't it? I thought Tucker hit that 67-yarder in Detroit, wasn't it?
And another thing, when Tucker hit that 67.
66,
and,
you're right. I'm wrong.
There's a shock. When he hit that 66, do you remember what the big story was? He had to take that extra crow hop before just to get it there.
Yeah, you don't think Boz does?
Did you see Boz at 60? Just smooth. He didn't have to take no extra crow. He didn't have to take extra two steps back. He didn't have to kick it on a line and hope it gets between everybody's hands. The power of the manipulated balls.
Slow down with your ball manipulation. We mentioned yesterday, since it was the anniversary of September 11th, a big thanks to all the firefighters, first responders out there in the world. There's a podcast with a couple of those dudes talking about that life. Third do first in, and they're supporting Kabali and Mac. So we pay it back and ask you to support their show as well. You want to hear what it's like in that life, whether you're in it yourself and just want to find out if other people are as crazy as you, or you just want to get a good look in from the outside. Keith and Gino have got great guests and some incredible stories. Go to Third Do First In on social media and on YouTube. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. Before we get to our official prediction on this game, before we get to our NFL picks for this weekend, Kaboom, we haven't talked WWE in a little bit, and there's a major announcement coming, apparently. Trips.
Yes, I will be taking part in WrestleMania 42 in March. In April. I let that out of the bag. I will be wrestling Gunther.
You against Otis. Beat a lot of man.
We're going to call it the IC light match.
For the mango belt.
Yeah, that's what it should be. They should call it the IC light belt.
Eventually.
Have the Intercontinental. Then for like the smaller guys, the high flyers, call it the IC light belt.
Yeah, I
just come up with something.
I know there are purists.
I should be a producer.
There are purists out there that get mad at the fact that, you know, they're worried about someday belts are going to be sponsored and have logos on them and stuff. If it involves the IC and the IC light belt, I'm all on board with it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Who would be the first? You know, Penta. Penta would be a good IC light champion. Right?
Just dance out there with a mank.
I don't know what this could be. Honestly?
No ideas?
If it's a huge announcement on YouTube, what could it possibly be? Oh, you know what it could be?
What?
I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. Maybe they're going to announce WrestlePalooza is one of their staple PLEs of their calendar. Now and forever.
This sounds bigger than that. I'll be honest. This sounds like, I'm not a fan of it, but WrestleMania and Saudi kind of big or something like that. I don't know. That's another thing that people online like to go off about. Not that people online are ever drastic or extreme in their reactions.
Yeah, you know, I understand that people love wrestling, but you go to London once a year. They got 87 shows in the United States a year, not more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll tend to, if I want to, I could probably go to a wrestling event drivable 8-10 times a year, maybe, just from here. You don't do that in overseas. You get one opportunity a year, so you wonder why the crowds are crazy. You never get to see it. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, the European crowds are nuts. And yeah, I think
get to see it once a year, and it comes from probably, you know, a 2,000-mile area of people just come and saying, oh, I got to get to Ireland because that's the closest they're going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see what this big announcement is. Is it some sort of partnership with somebody? Is that all we're talking about? Or we talking about?
It can't be a partnership. They wouldn't care about that much. It wouldn't be like so-and-so's coming back.
What do you think then?
I'm just only one I could think of is the WrestlePalooza, right?
Being one of the tentpole events. Maybe. Or maybe, I don't know. I can't think of it either, but something big happening at 3:00 and then you'll have to write about it. I hope you're ready for that.
I ain't writing about that. That's already written.
What do you mean it's already written?
It's above my pay grade. As they like
they won't let you do that.
Yeah, I did something stupid the other day. I don't even know what I wrote.
breaking news?
No, something about the mixed tag match.
What'd you do?
I had to figure out what's going to go on here. I'm thinking maybe I haven't heard from Paul Heyman in a while. It concerns me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said something the other day, but his beef is with the tribal chief after he got the guillotine. So, but his bread's buttered with Seth. I'm telling you right now, there ain't no way Punk and AJ Lee's winning.
No.
Nah.
When's the last time Punk won a big match?
That's what I'm thinking.
On TV.
Poor guy. I think this is all getting put. This battle here is just a jumping off point to probably about 8 months worth of AJ, Becky, Punk, and Rollins heading to WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're probably right. Nice long-term build like that. Makes sense. You don't bring AJ Lee back for a one-off, I don't think. So thanks to the friends at Impact HVAC. They've been supporting the show since the very beginning as well. Look, I know it's going to feel like a little, what do they call it? Am I allowed to call it Indian summer? I don't know. It's going to be hot next week. That's probably politically incorrect.
They call it something else now, but go ahead. I will find it.
Whatever. It's going to be hot next week. Maybe your AC hasn't had to run in a couple of weeks because it's been cool out in the mornings. You had the windows open, whatever it is, and you go to fire it back up and it doesn't work. You're like, hell, what do I do now? You get a hold of Impact HVAC. You can message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or just give them a call at 412-297-1852. Even if nothing's going wrong, get out ahead of it. Schedule that furnace checkup before it gets cold out permanently in the fall and winter. Have them take a look, make sure everything is in working order. So when you do fire it up, you're all good to stay warm all winter long. They'll come out and do anything. Checkup, maintenance, repair, replacement, they got you. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Or like I said, the number's on the screen, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show. What is the politically correct term for Indian summer?
Second summer. It is preferred by the AMS, American Meteorological, whatever society.
Meteorological.
Discourages the use of Indian summer due to its potentially disrespectful connotation toward Native Americans. So you're just very disrespectful. But there's also other terms that include Martin summer.
The hell's that?
Well, for St. Martin's Day on November 11th, there's some international equivalents like, oh, God. Why did I go down this road?
Okay, stop scrolling.
Alvasara and Nazamar.
Yeah.
Both good. Being in late summer.
I'm sure you said those exactly right, too. All right, let's make some picks for this weekend. Are you ready? You lead the picks competition by two games, right? You win 11.
By the way, this second summer has really brought those god darn freaking lantern flies out.
Yeah. They'll die off in a couple of weeks. Don't worry.
Yeah, they'll die off. They'll be gone. Freaking. They were all over me last night. Just like Richie Walsh's head.
I saw one on Richie's shoulder the other day.
Where did some bitches come from? I thought we were past them, but I guess
they weren't as bad this year as last year. I'll say that.
They're starting now, though, which I'm not a big fan of. But
all right, you went 11-5 in the first week of picks. I went 9-7. Let's go through.
I'm already 1-0.
No, you're not. Last night did not count because neither one of us made an official pick. All right, Rams and Titans in Tennessee. I got the Rams. Who you got?
They both stink.
Okay, I didn't ask that. I asked who you got winning this game.
I'll just go with the Rams. I'll go chalk.
Okay, Jacksonville and Cincinnati. I got the Bungles. Bengals. You hate Jacksonville. Why are you even
positive? I understand that, but the Bengals looked poor the other day, but I still go with Cincinnati.
Okay. Browns are in Baltimore. They're going to get curb stomped. The Ravens are going to be pissed
Browns
off.
Browns normally plays Ravens pretty doggone tough.
Well, I'm telling you right now, this is going to be like a 49-10 thumping because the Ravens are going to get pissed after that loss.
Too bad. I'll take the points, but
Baltimore to win? Okay. Buffalo in the Meadowlands against the Jets. I think the Bills win. Bold statement there.
Yeah, these are easy so far, right?
Okay, you got Buffalo?
No, I want the Jets.
New England. You got Buffalo. New England at Miami. Do the Dolphins bounce back, or are they still a dumpster fire? I got the Patriots.
I'm going Miami. Hard to play in Miami in mid-September.
Wasn't that hard last week. San Francisco, New Orleans. No Brock Purdy. The Niners are banged up. I still got the Niners. The Saints are terrible.
Where's that at?
In the Superdome. Or Mercedes-Benz Dome, or whatever the hell it's called now.
McCaffrey's banged up. Purdy's out. Kittle's out. But the Saints are the Saints.
So you got San Francisco?
Well, you know what? I'm going to go to New Orleans.
Okay. Let me back into the contest. I appreciate it. Yeah. Giants at Jerry World in Dallas. I got the Cowboys to bounce back.
Boy, you might as well just pick all the favorites.
No, I'm not.
Sure. Dallas.
Dallas.
2 days off.
You just did the same thing. All right. The Bears go to Ford Field in Detroit. I got the Lions bouncing back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my Super Bowl winning team. Come on.
They better get it together real quick. This might be a good opportunity for them. Broncos go to visit your Indianapolis Colts. I got the Broncos. They're just Yonkos.
Broncos at the Colts. Broncos didn't look particularly good last week.
Mm-mm.
The Colts did. Are the Colts for real?
No.
I'll go with Denver.
Man, you're making this boring. Carolina at Arizona in a if a tree falls in the forest game. I got the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good one. It's the national game on CBS, I think. Eagles, Chiefs at Burrowhead. I got the Eagles. I got the Chiefs starting 0-2, which is crazy.
It's at Arrowhead?
Yep.
I'm going to Kansas City.
All right. Atlanta at Minnesota on Sunday night. I got the Vikings. I'm not a huge J.J. McCarthy believer yet, but he might be turning me in his direction a little bit.
Why are they putting that game on a Sunday night?
Probably because CBS demanded that they get Eagles Chiefs, I would think.
I'll go with Atlanta.
Atlanta. Tampa Bay, Houston. Or is this the Sunday night? No, this is one of the two Monday night games. There's a Monday night doubleheader. Tampa Bay, Houston. I got the Bucks.
Yep, Bucks.
Man, this is a Bucks show all of a sudden. And then the second game of the doubleheader on Monday night, probably another if a tree falls in the forest game because nobody's going to stay up and watch it. Chargers, Raiders at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. I got the Chargers.
Well, you just totally just picked all favorites. Not even one close to being an underdog.
No, New England's a dog.
Chargers, Raiders. I do like the Raiders. The Chargers just looked too good the other day.
Come on. Make a pick.
Chargers.
All right. And then finally, our official pick for Steelers Seahawks. I got Steelers 27-20. What do you got?
I forget what my final score was. I will say Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to have a couple field goals in there.
Yeah. Come on. Get there.
Pittsburgh 26. Seattle 12.
26-12. Four field goals from Boz?
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's been blocked.
All right. But holding the Seahawks to 12 would be nice after that performance against the Jets last week.
I don't know. I'm just making this look like, hey, they're going to cover, so.
Well, yeah, I got them covering too, 27-20. I mean, winning by two full touchdowns would feel pretty good.
Hey, who do you got, Penn State or Villanova?
What's the spread, by the way? I haven't checked. Hold on. Hold on. Did Penn State cover last week? I don't know. I'm not paying close enough attention to these non-conference games.
I wonder why.
Because they're non-conference games, and they don't matter. They're going to win. I don't even see a line. Hold on. If you're going to give me shit and make me predict it, Hold on. Penn State. 48.5. Good Lord.
Well, good Lord. I mean, what do you expect when you play Nevada, Florida International, and Villanova as your first three games? I mean,
hey, seriously. Man, it's a 16-game season now. You got to warm the boys up to the task.
Warm the boys up? You might as well play freaking Clairton.
Clairton might be better than Villanova.
My goodness. What about those Jaguars being underdogs tonight against Avonworth?
Yeah, I saw that. Everybody's picking the Antelopes.
Never bet against Chirp.
Nope, never. Hold on.
Villanova.
Hang, there it is.
Man, DJ. You talk about
on the road at Avonworth.
You talk about a chump change schedule. I'm looking at that Penn State schedule. Oh, my goodness.
They don't make the Big Ten schedule,
Nevada, Florida International, Villanova.
They got to go to Columbus.
UCLA, Northwestern, Michigan State, Rutgers. Wow, there's some really tough games there.
They don't make the conference schedule.
Well, they make the first three game schedule.
Right, and they know they're going to have a long season. At least that's the hope. You want the guys fresh. Get your young guys some experience. Maybe they play in all three non-conference games. Nobody's burning red shirts. Everything's great.
Villanova.
You're thinking checkers. Jimmy Covers is playing chess, okay?
Yeah. And what has he ever won? The snake oil salesman, what has he ever won?
Don't worry about it. He's got a Big Ten title in his back pocket from like 10 years ago. He'll be fine. Okay. That's going to do it. Live post-game edition of the show Sunday afternoon after Stiller, Seahawks, and Kaboom has gone down to the locker room and come back up. Who knows who may wander through on that edition of the show if you're back up in the press box for it.
I'm just trying to think where I'm going to go. Probably back in the cafeteria.
There you go. Just make sure the Wi-Fi signal's good.
I don't have any say-so in that.
Well, you can complain a little bit anyway. Not that you've ever done that before. Don't forget, retweet the clips we tell you to retweet on Twitter over the next few days. It'll get you in the running to maybe win that free ticket to the Marc-Andre Fleury signing at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village next Saturday, September 20th. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube for a shot at either the Will Hard autographed Steelers helmet or the autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin vest. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the weekend, and we will be back, like I said, Sunday afternoon, probably 4:45, 5 o'clock-ish, depending on when the game ends and Kaboom is done down in the locker room to break it all down for you. Thanks again for joining us here on Cabali and Max. See you later. Go have an iron.